You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 310 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, and joining me for the first time in a while from across the pond, Graham Chappell. What's up, man?
Howdy.
It's nice to have you back, my friend. It's been too long.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Always. I figured since you and I are on the very short list of people when it comes to paying very close attention to this Atlanta Hawks team in a granular sense, I thought we'd actually kind of ignore the big names on this podcast. You know, most of the time, I do end up talking a lot about Dennis Schroeder and John Collins and Torian Prince, and those guys are all definitely worth of a lot of attention. With that said, we should focus on the other guys, at least at some point. This is a podcast that has a lot of diehard listeners, so I thought it'd be good to sort of go through the guys that we don't always talk about a ton here and sort of the more role player aspect. So I've sort of divided this thing into a couple of tiers and things to talk about. The first thing I want to hit on is all of the guys who always come up in trade discussions, because they're all on these expiring contracts, and that's Ursula Ivasova, Luke Babbitt, and Marco Bellinelli especially. Then you have the other kind of guys with Dwayne Dedman and Mike Muscala. Those guys are more difficult to talk about right now because they're injured. But let's talk about the guys, the other three at least. So Ivasova is probably the biggest name here. He's also the best player, in my opinion, of these three guys. But what have you seen from him lately? I know he's been much better after sort of a slow start.
He just looks healthy, you know. He's finally got back. He seems to be in a decent place, and he's just, yeah, like he's been shooting it really well. He's arguably been probably one of the better players in general, like for the entire team over the last few games. I think he's averaging the most points in the last five. He had 17. He shot the three ball. It's going down. It was kind of going down at a kind of not kind of sustainable rate for a little bit there, because didn't he shoot like five or six recently.
Yeah, there was a game where he was perfect from the floor, and that was not sustainable, I don't think.
But still shooting 48 in the last five. I mean, he's arguably the best player for the whole team in the last little bit. He does do little things that coaches love. You know, steps in and takes the charges. I think he's only second in second in the league in charges drawn a game. Like, only Kyle Lowry takes more per game. So, but we kind of all knew that going in what he brings. But, and that's kind of the thing, isn't it? You just know what you get with Ivasova, and that's just a nice feeling, because some of these guys on the roster, even they're rookies or young players or whatever, you don't know what to expect. Am I going to get this one night from this guy, or am I going to get this one from another? But with Ivasova, it's kind of, you kind of know what you get, and that's just and you go through as much as not instability, but kind of turnover, as the Hawks have done in the last little bit. That's always nice to have.
Yeah, there's some real value in that on both ends too, because defensively, I think he's probably he's not great by any means, but like he's not bad either, and that's valuable at that position when you can be a positive offensive player and not kill you defensively. He's one of the few guys on the roster that has a pretty reasonable net rating when he's on the floor. The Hawks are only minus 0.7 points per 100 when he plays, and that's basically the best of anybody that's like a full-time rotation guy. I guess Isaiah Taylor would be the other one who's in the positive. Everybody else that's in the positive is guys that don't really play. So Ivasova really has kind of the number one guy in terms of that sense. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes in terms of just in general at this point in time, because Ivasova could be traded. I mean, that's sort of the backdrop here that we were talking about, is that he could be available. He's 1 year and $6 million. And, we're talking about Ivasova. He's going to be a guy who's been on a bunch of teams already in his career. He can veto any trade, which is something we should talk about, because he doesn't have to accept a trade. But you think he probably would, because the Hawks are so bad, and maybe a team that would be trading for him would probably be closer to a playoff team. So I assume he would probably do that, but it has to be mentioned as well.
Yeah, he'd imagine that he'd give us some serious consideration, because you can only take so much losing for so long. These guys, that's the one thing you forget, is that these guys are competitive. They hate losing, and that's what people forget kind of when they talk about tanking and rebuilding and such. Is these guys hate, with every fiber of their body, hate losing, and that can definitely factor into something like that.
Yeah, players and coaches. I mean, it's always important to know. I say this all the time, but you know, when Budenholzer makes a decision or a guy doesn't play well, it's like, guys, they want to win. They're not, the players and coaches want to win. They're really frustrated. They, of course, won their last game on Monday. But aside from that, I mean, obviously it's not exactly the best atmosphere in terms of wins and losses. So I'd imagine he would take a trade if it came to it. And I think it's we're guilty of talking about these guys as trade assets sort of exclusively right now. And that makes some sense given where the Hawks are. But Ilyasova is just a very positive basketball player who would help basically anybody. He's one of those guys where there's very few teams in the league that couldn't use him, if that makes sense. So I think he's sort of a prime trade candidate for that reason, and he also helps the Hawks a lot. So wouldn't blow me away. I mean, if you asked me coming into this year if I thought the Hawks were going to sign him, I would have said no, but it just makes sense at the cost that he has. And if he's that, if he's still on the team past the trade deadline, it wouldn't blow me away to see him come back, because I know they all like him a lot.
It's definitely good. He's just a great guy to have around, you know, for yeah. As a vet. He's been all around. He's had that longevity. And he's still got the skill set that is so popular at the moment. That, yeah, like you said, no, like what team wouldn't want someone who can shoot at his size, you know, the way he can, you know, is so it's definitely something to keep an eye on. But yeah, it'd be great to see it. Like, it's great to have him around. He's just a great guy, really, for everyone.
Yeah, he can shoot, he can rebound, he can play a little defense. He fits in with culture-wise, and it's just been nice to see him play well after the hiccup early on in the season. Let's move on here to Babbitt and Bellinelli, very interesting pieces, especially because neither one of those guys really played much on Monday. We saw something of a rotation change, and we'll talk about that more with Malcolm Delaney later in the podcast. But I like both these guys to varying degrees. Luke Babbitt, I think, has been perennially underrated. I love that signing when they did it. Bellinelli is a little bit more polarizing. His defense, we can hit on briefly. We all know it's bad. But what do you think about these guys as players and as pieces to maybe move, all that fun stuff? Because Babbitt especially, because he's making basically the minimum, is a very interesting piece if somebody wanted to come and pick him off.
Yeah, Babbitt's the one that I really like here. Like you say, he's got great value for the deal. I mean, he played like this guy's like a 40% shooter for his, like, it's even at least 7 years now. Like, you would have thought maybe with someone that, with that skill set, you might get more than the minimum. But you know, the Hawks, they gave it to him, he took it, and yeah, he's been playing well this season. He hasn't played particularly a lot recently. I think in the last five games it's only 15 minutes with a minus 31 net rating in those last five games.
He's,
so
he's sort of in that role now that we kind of thought he was going to be in, where he's like the fifth big man, and they put him in when it sort of makes sense, and that's kind of what he probably should be. I think he's a quality basketball player, but like when the whole team is healthy, I mean, right now especially, they still don't have Dwayne Dedmon. If they had everybody available, there would be nights when Babbitt wouldn't play, and that wouldn't be a big deal, I don't think.
I think it's good to play him. He's underrated defensively, I find, as well. And even when we watched clips of him last year for the Heat, like people just kind of assume that he's just not a good defender, and that's what I don't know what that's based on, because you look at him play, like he's not world beating by any means, but he can do enough defensively that, you know, he can play, obviously he plays at the four, and then sometimes you can get lost in matchups and the such. But I think he's just a general net for the Hawks to have, because he just gives another option as well. Because like Ilyasova, you know what you're getting with Babbitt. He's a shooter, and that's kind of about it. But he just gives another option for Bud to kind of throw in those shooting lineups where you want to spread the four for Dennis or whatever. And I've really liked, even though he hasn't kind of done a whole lot in the last five games, I've really liked what he's brought this season.
Yeah, Babbitt, I mean, the shooting kind of is his calling card, but as you mentioned, like, defensively, it sort of becomes that lazy thing where it's like, he's always in the right place, but he actually is. He's still a below average defender, we should definitely say that. With that said, when you compare him to somebody like Bellinelli, who we need to talk about, you know, Babbitt's tools are not great, but he kind of just knows what to do. With Bellinelli, he's very, very bad defensively. Like, we kind of knew that, but it's been worse than I thought, even, because I thought for some reason that Bud could be able to hide him a little bit defensively. That has not come to fruition. And I think, I mean, I'm not trying to overreact to one game on Monday, but maybe Bud is going to look elsewhere a lot of these minutes, because if Bellinelli's not making shots, he's kind of unplayable.
Yeah, then that's the thing. Like, he's, over the last five games, just under 17 minutes a game, 37% from the field, like 8.6 points. I mean, when he's not shooting well, it's kind of like, you know, what's he adding, really? Because
nothing.
Like you say, defensively is not good. And when he's not shooting, you know, perhaps it's no surprise then that he hasn't featured much in the last little bit as much as before, because like you say, when that shot's not falling, there's not a lot else going on.
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument for gravity and just the way that he can sort of bend a defense, because they, you know, for better or worse, because he can shoot in the way he can, defenses do cover him, and that provides some spacing. But it becomes tough when he's not making shots because he is so bad defensively. Like, if he was just passable, it would be easier. And you definitely need some floor spacing in some certain lineups with the Hawks right now. With that said, Bellinelli's a flawed player, we should say. I think, you know,
streaky.
Yeah, he's definitely streaky as well. And we should point out, I mean, some teams that could certainly use him. I think Zach Lowe mentioned that on a recent podcast. Like, Bellinelli could be an intriguing trade piece because, you know, you could find a team around the league that just needs some punch off the bench as a scorer. He can do that. I mean, he's always been a high volume guy as a shooter, and he can sort of sustain some usage in a way. And a lot of guys that with his makeup really can't, because he really can kind of create off the dribble as well if you need him to. But yeah, I mean, Bellinelli is an interesting piece. And I think if I had to pick one guy who I think the Hawks will trade, it is Bellinelli. That might just be my opinion, and I'm just reading into that too much, but I think he's the one guy I can't see being on the team next year, if that makes sense. So he would have the most urgency to trade. Like Babbitt or Ilyasova, I can see the Hawks wanting to bring those guys back next year on a reasonable contract. With Bellinelli, I just can't imagine that being a priority. And of course, he was just a part of that trade with the Hornets. It wasn't as if they went out and tried to get Marco Bellinelli in the way that they did with Ilyasova and Babbitt. So I think if there's a... That's just my opinion. Does that sound crazy to you? What do you think about that? I know we're kind of just guessing, but is that a reasonable assumption?
Yeah, it's definitely reasonable. Like you say, he was just part of the deal to get rid of Dwight Howard. So, you know, like you say, Ilyasova and Babbitt were guys they you know, went out and got signed. Even though it was a short deal, they still went and got them. And just Bellinelli. Forget the Hawks bringing him back. Does he want to come back? Does Bellinelli want to come back? You know, again, he's a competitive guy, and I'm sure he'll know what's going on in the long run, and I'm sure that will factor into any decision he makes. But it wouldn't be wild, because like you say, you can kind of unlike Baba, kind of Bellinelli can do more than one thing. You know, he can create off the dribble, he can do a bit of ball handling. You know, he can light him up when he has a go, and that's definitely something that a playoff team or a perennial or a fringe playoff team kind of should be interested in. But it just makes sense that the two, he's kind of there because they kind of had to in a way, rather than want.
Yeah, I think they can move him if they want to, and we'll see how big of a priority that is. Well, Graham, before we get going on something else, and we will do that, I know you play fantasy basketball. We're in the league together, actually, at the Peachtree Hoops Fantasy Basketball League, and this is a just a promotion of sorts for fantasy basketball, so here it is. Listen up, fantasy sports fans. Did you know that your chances of winning on the Draft app are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy basketball site. No more getting crushed by the pros, and it's just not just me. More than 1 million people have already downloaded the Draft app and used it in the early going of the NBA season. Play in a real live NBA draft right now, be done in under 5 minutes, and get paid the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you want to join one whenever you want. And all players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But that's if you only use my promo code LOHawks. That's LOHawks by playing. You can play in a real money draft for free by using that promo code, and it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it, that they're even offering a podcast guarantee / money back guarantee for LOHawks listeners, and that's up to $100. So just search the Draft app in your app store, go to draft.com, and come play free right now with the promo code LOHawks and enjoy this fantasy basketball offer. Well, thank you, sir, for being patient through that. And here we are to talk about some point guard stuff, because I teased this a little bit earlier, but Malcolm Delaney played a lot of minutes on Monday. We talked about that on today's podcast as we were recording this on Tuesday morning. With that said, you know, it was a bit of a surprise to me that Bud went to Delaney ahead of Taylor. Taylor did play in the game on Monday, but Delaney had been sort of not necessarily in the doghouse, but just basically just been passed by Taylor. But he played well Monday. What do you think about both of those guys? Because, you know, Taylor's on a non-guaranteed deal for this year and next year. Delaney's on an expiring contract. I've always been higher on Delaney than everybody else seems to be, but I think the Hawks have sort of figured out now that he's better off the ball. So where are you at with these two guys, especially Delaney? Because I think Taylor's been covered a little bit more recently, because Delaney's been out of sight, out of mind of sorts. But both those guys are interesting pieces in some ways.
Yeah, for sure. It's good to see Delaney back in some sort of rotational role. I think that's kind of partly because these role players that we're talking about, you know, like your Bellinellis and such, even Bembry to a degree. You know, he's been struggling of late, and this is kind of their minutes have come down a bit, and kind of, but Delaney's have kind of gone up because of it. Isaiah Taylor as well, he's kind of struggled recently. 2.8 points per game in his last five, 16.7 field goal percentage, zero threes. So, and you know, so when these guys are struggling, you're going to get opportunities. So even, like you say, he's been in the doghouses of sorts, NBA doghouse, where a little bit kind of maybe getting in when a bit of garbage time, but not in the rotation. And, you know, he's still professional. I loved his excitement off the bench. You know, he's you always see him get up every now and then when the big plays happen, and he's still into it. You know, and that's good. You like to see those things, even when they're not getting, you know, especially like a pro like Delaney, who's kind of, he's well-traveled. He's, you know, he's not like a young player that's, you know, kind of trying to get his way in. Like he's a pro's pro, and that's what I really like about it. So he comes in, his name is called, and yeah, anyways, he's been solid, especially defensively. You know, Bug talked about it last night, how he's kind of liked his Malcolm's defense, you know, coming off the bench. And I really want them to play that Taylor Delaney line a bit more, because before, I think it was before Taylor got injured with the eye, that two man lineup lineups that featured Delaney and Taylor with Delaney playing off ball, they were really solid, and Delaney was playing really well. And then kind of all that rhythm just got kind of disrupted when Taylor went out, and we haven't seen it as much ever since Taylor's come back. Because since Taylor's come back, Delaney's kind of been on the end of the bench. So I'd love to see those two play together a bit more, and maybe they will now going forward, but who knows.
Yeah, and that was actually something that was important to note, and like the numbers back it up as well. The Hawks had a plus of 14.2 net rating for the season when they play Delaney and Taylor. It's a pretty small sample, it's about 100 minutes, but those guys have worked together. It worked again on Monday evening, and yeah, I mean, I've always liked Delaney. I will be the first to say that. You know, as a pure point guard, I could see why people don't love that, but if you compare him with somebody, and Taylor has pretty good size as well. He's a legit 6'2", 6'3", and has some wingspan. If you guys play those guys together, it can certainly work, especially if Delaney's shooting the ball well, and he's shot the ball better this year. He's still not great in terms of efficiency, but up to 34% from three, that's passable. I think he's probably a little bit better than that, in the big picture, but still, that's been something to keep an eye on as well. And, you know, listen, I don't think Delaney's going to be back necessarily, because it's an expiring contract. They have Taylor, they have these three draft picks, they have all this sort of flexibility, so I wouldn't necessarily assume that, but you know, the organization likes him. I'm not sure how Schlenk feels, because that was a signing by the previous administration, but Bud's always liked Malcolm, and maybe he'll be back. And Taylor, I mean, they have him locked up as basically a minimum contract for this year and next year, so that's a huge value based on the way he's been playing. I do want to move on to a couple of big men to talk about. We talked about Tyler Cavanaugh a lot lately because he just got signed, of course. But Miles Plumlee is a guy that I wanted to talk about a little bit, just as far as his play is concerned, because we all know he's overpaid. We all know it's a bad contract. That's not really what I want to talk about necessarily. We kind of just know that. But what is he? I mean, there's been some flashes where he's looked okay. There's been some flashes where he's looked terrible. I will say that. But he's dunking everything around the rim. Like, he doesn't look awful, and that's sort of a good, I mean, it's obviously not a terrible thing by any means, but kind of, do you think he's somebody that, I'm not saying you're going to build around him by any means, but like, is he playable in a rotation if you had to?
See,
it's tough. I don't know
because Deadman and Muscala are out, and
true. He wouldn't be playing. We could probably assume he wouldn't be playing if everybody was healthy, because he wasn't playing. I mean, he was hurt at the beginning of the year, even when he was healthy. I just, you know, with Collins, Deadman, and Muscala plus Ilyasova, I just don't think he'd be playing. But they've taken every advantage of these minutes to get him some playing time, get his feet under him. He looks better now than he did when he first started playing again. And, you know, for better or worse here, like, you don't necessarily want to have a guy for three more years making $12.5 million that's just never, ever playing. So this has actually been a good opportunity to play him. I don't love necessarily starting him and playing him a lot, but, you know, I know why they had to do it, and he's not been as bad as some people probably thought he would be.
He hasn't been awful, and that's kind of been the pleasant surprise for people in many ways. You asked what he is. He's a big man. he is massive. And that's good, because Hawks are really, like, I know Deadman's around, but like a big, massive body like that to come set some screens. And, you know, listen to them. I was checking out the Grizzlies game there the other day, and you know, I was listening to the Memphis broadcast, and they really liked how kind of Ilyasova and Plumlee were. They really mentioned how their early offense screen setting for guys like Bazemore and Schroeder were quite impressed by it. And, you know, that's kind of what Plumlee kind of gives you. You know, you know what he is. He's not going to score 15 points a game or whatever. He's going to be up and down defensively. Like he's long. Like that dude's long. He's a bit lead foot, but like he's not I don't think he's as bad as, you know, obviously, yeah, people will give him they mention the contract and that's fine. It's a good point and well made, but you know, on the court, like he's not been awful. And like, that's been all right.
Yeah. I mean, he's not a great explosive, like lateral athlete, but we see him when he finishes dunks. Like he's not a terrible athlete. He can get up and jump a little bit. His usage is very low. His turnover rate is extremely high. And that's something that he's always had a problem with, is his just turning the ball over a lot. So when he has the ball, you don't want to have the ball in his hands a lot, but if his entire role was to set screens, rebound, and basically just finish dunks around the rim, he can do that. Again, like I don't think you want him as even a backup center on a good team, but given where the Hawks are, to play him a little bit here, it also helps, like the fact that he's been, you know, the Hawks have been actually better than pretty much anybody else when he's on the court. They're plus 4.3 points per 100 possessions in his 181 minutes this year. And because of the fact that it's a lot of that starting, that's really against starting units, because he's been starting for so much of this time. You know, it's not him driving that, but like he's proven that the Hawks aren't going to be awful with him on the floor just because he's on the floor. So I think, you know, it's going to be a priority in the future to move off that contract if and when the Hawks are trying to compete in the next couple of years. But for now, you know, it's tough to get off him. We kind of all know that. So just have him around. He seems like a decent guy, all that fun stuff. He had the hiccup with the marijuana arrest before the season started, but those charges got dropped apparently. So all that to say, Plumlee is around. You know, nobody wants him to be there on $12.5 million a year. I think he probably knows that he's overpaid, but somebody paid him that money. It's not his fault. And there it is. Quickly on Tyler Cavanaugh, because I don't know, I've talked to a couple other people about him, but I want to see where you kind of are on Cavanaugh as to like what he kind of is. We saw him with another DMP on Monday. I don't think he's going to be playing if everybody is healthy, or if anybody's healthy. We've seen that now with Deadman still out and Mescal still out. He's still not playing, but still, you know, he's sort of the 15th, 14th man somewhere in there. Is that an okay contract? Are you okay with the Hawks signing him?
Yeah, I mean, it made the most sense to sign him to that. Kind of where are they at, right? Like, and that's the thing. Like, it was all about opportunity and kind of where they were at and where they were at right now. You know, his time is running up on those days with the two way contract, and they need that body around in case something goes wrong. Because Devin's out for another little bit. You know, Bud talked about it yesterday, and he's getting on the right track. But like Mike Muscala, we have no idea. Bud said he was close, but I mean, you've heard this before, and where are we, 22 games later ish?
I will say this about Bud saying that Muscala was quote really close. That was the most positive he's been. I've asked Bud a few times about Muscala, and he's never given really any sort of indication of what was going to happen. So him saying really close actually sort of perked my ears up a little bit. I'm not sure what that means. That's a good point, because it was very vague. At the same time, you know, Bud talked about Deadman in more exact terms and saying that he'll be out for a couple of weeks at least before he can even do anything else. So he's not close, whereas Muscala actually could be here. And you know, as you mentioned, it's definitely one of the longer ankle sprains you'll see. Apparently there was a couple of complications somewhere along the way, because there would almost have to be for him not to be back by this point. But I do think Muscala is a better player than Cavanaugh.
Just that's in a vacuum. Definitely fair.
A lot of the fan bases seem to think that Cavanaugh is better, or that this was some sort of referendum on Muscala. It was much more about the fact that Cavanaugh had played so well, and he was already there. He knows the system. The Hawks really value that. And that roster spot, you know, they clearly did not love Dick Brasino. So as soon as that happened, we kind of all knew it was going to be Cavanaugh. That was a pretty public secret, to say the least. So there it is on that. But I think he's fine. We'll see what happens in the future. It's probably going to be non-guaranteed, and we'll see what happens there with Cavanaugh. Last guy I wanted to ask you about, Graham, and that is Kent Bazemore, who is the biggest name we've talked about so far, and probably the only guy we'll talk about in terms of the more prominent players. But Baze has had some good performances recently. People have started to talk about how he's been improved. I want to see if you agree with that, especially when compared to last year, I guess, is probably the baseline, or even 2 years ago, because 2 years ago is when he got the big contract. His numbers are pretty scarily similar now to where they were 2 years ago. So what do you think about Baze as an overall player at this point? Like, obviously the contract sort of looms over that as well. He's overpaid, but is he somebody that you value as a rotation quality player? Because if he's that, then he's clearly overpaid, but it's not quite the dire situation that it is with Plumlee.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely a solid NBA player. You know, forget rotation player. Like, he's just a solid NBA player who's got good skills. He's been shooting it quite well from the outside, even though he's struggled from the field quite a bit. But from outside, he's having a decent year from shooting the three, and that's always bodes well. He's done more in as a ball handler, and that's been up. That experience has been up and down. But last night that was really good. It was 7 assists, no turnovers. That's Dennis Schroeder be doing well to do do that on a. I know it's not every night, but even still. So I'm a big fan of Bates because it's not even like he gives you more than on the court. Like I could believe he's a great locker room guy. A guy you'd want to have around you on your side. I just think I think he gives a lot of positive vibes as well. In kind of when you're in the trenches, you're there, you're going to battle every night. You know, he's a guy that I think you can really depend on around you to be a great teammate. On the course, I mean, look, we all know he has his ups and downs. I'd love to see him kind of piece more consistent stretches together. Even Taurean Prince had that issue. I feel like he's kind of done a little bit better job than Bates, kind of piecing these nice performances together. And that's because we know Bazemore is capable. Like he's capable of scoring 19, 20 a game and shooting like three threes and getting those assists and blocks and steals. Like he can do a lot of things. And these things are fantastic. But that's the thing, was always just to kind of piece these performances together, string them out a bit more. Consistency is basically... It's basically the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, I mean, at this moment, like, he has the best PER of his career. He's at 15 flat, which is a league average PER. He has the second best true shooting percentage of his career, only second to 2 years ago when he had his breakout campaign. His assist rates is at a career high. All that, his steal rates at a career high. Like, there's a lot of positives with Kent Bazemore right now, and he's kind of the player that I thought he would be last year. Like, I never thought he was going to suddenly make this leap. I think a lot of Hawks fans, when he got the big money, assume that he was going to be suddenly a different player or a better player. This is always kind of what he was supposed to be. Last year he struggled a lot, obviously, but just sort of a do-everything guy who can just fill in the gaps and be a league-average player. And there's some really good value in that. Of course, the value goes out the window in some ways when he's paid as much as he is. But in terms of just purely on the floor, he's a useful piece that everybody, I've said this before, but Bazemore would be in basically any rotation in the entire NBA on the wing, sans maybe Golden State. Everybody else could use Kent Bazemore, and like the money is what it is. The money is spent; it's a sunk cost. But like he's suddenly become or sort of bounce back, I guess, to being that player that has a lot of value.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, he's also playable. That's the thing. Even though, you'd like maybe that he'd learn a bit less money if you're on the outside looking in, but he's playable, and that's the big difference between him and say a Miles Plumlee, where Plumlee could be out of the probably will be out of the rotation again when guys get back, and I assume Collins get more minutes as the season goes on. But I'd argue that what Bazemore, I was disappointed with him earlier this season because I felt like I in particular expect more of him because I feel like he's capable of more. And some people don't think he's capable of being shooting over 40% from the field and such. That's why I was disappointed, because I feel like he's capable of more and he can do more. But I'd argue what he's doing, he's had a really good stretch of late. I'd argue what he's doing this year is better than what he did in his breakout year 2 years ago, because you just look at who's kind of around him. That team 2 years ago had Paul Millsap, Jeff Teague, Al Horford, Kyle Korver, a lot more guys to kind of plan for. Whereas when you look at the Hawks, it's Schroeder, it's Bazemore, it's Ilyasova. It's kind of, there's I think more attention on him these days than a lot more attention than say 2 years ago. And he's been able to do, put up, you could say, almost similar numbers to that season, and he's doing more as a facilitator and creator. Again, that's up and down, but he's asked to do more this obviously this year, and I just think he's been able to do of late has been pretty impressive.
Yep, it's been an encouraging stretch, especially for Kent. I mean, in season long wise, as we said before, his numbers are pretty good, and especially lately, it's been quite good. So, anything else you want to get out there, Graham? I know we've covered a lot on this pod. I appreciate it for sure. But hit on anything else that you want to, and tell people where they can find your stuff, because you are absolutely killing IP Street Hoops.
Oh well, thank you. Do you have a minute to talk about Bembry? I mean, are we
let's
concerned?
Yeah,
are we
no,
concerned
let's,
with
let's
Bembry
talk
because
about it.
he's he's been struggling of late. You know, 3.8 points the last five games, 36% from the field, 0.8 assists, net rating minus 19, almost 20. Have you been disappointed somewhat? I know he's been coming back from a wrist fracture and such, but I thought maybe he might have done a bit more.
Yeah, his offense is definitely disappointing. I will say that. I mean, I think defensively he's been quite good, and that is worth talking about and emphasizing because it has been so good, I should say. But offensively, it's kind of a mess right now, and it has to be said as well. Like I've been a big Bembry fan. I continue to be a big Bembry fan, but same. Offensively, like, he doesn't really bring a whole lot right now. Like, he's kind of out of control at times. I still like what he can be as a sort of secondary, you know, guy with good passing vision and creation ability. But when, you know, his jump shot is actually kind of, if there's one bright spot, it's probably been his jumper, that it's not completely unusable. You know, he's 6 of 18 from three. That's not great, but just some progress there is good. But yeah, I think he's kind of hurting the Hawks in a lot of ways offensively, to the point where they have to play him to develop him, I would argue. But it's really rough in certain lineups when you don't have enough shooting around him, because he just needs space and he needs to be able to. I think Tyler Jones pointed this out a couple of days ago on the podcast, was that he just kind of needs to almost do less offensively, just kind of be a defensive specialist at the moment that just kind of stays out of the way offensively, fills in gaps. And I kind of like that for him right now. I mean, ultimately down the line, maybe he does more than that. But right now, you know, offensively doesn't bring too much to the table on a positive way.
Yeah, it's weird. Could you ever have imagined when the draft went down in 2016 that it would be Prince that would be the offensive guy and not so much the defensive guy, and Bembry the defensive guy?
Oh yeah, I mean, so I would have,
this is weird.
It is weird. I mean, I thought Bembry might take a little bit because of his jump shot, but at the same time, yeah, Prince's offense is way ahead of where I thought it would be. His defense is behind where I thought it'd be, and Bembry's defense is better than I thought it would be. Yeah. And he's a better defender than Prince right now, which is kind of crazy to think about.
For sure.
But offensively, just the gap is so wide that, you know, obviously Prince is a far better player at this moment. But yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by both of those things, honestly.
It's a weird occurrence. But hey, they're both fun to watch when they have a go, and that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, I've talked about him a little bit, but it's worth pointing out, because I know there's a lot of Bembry fans that kind of are just dug in and think that I'm too low on him now. And it's like, no, I'm not trying to kill him, but I just think the offense is a work in progress.
Just struggled of late. That's kind of how it is. Like, I love him as well. I think he's got so much potential as that kind of second, you know, secondary kind of ball handler and such. And I think, yeah, he could be fantastic. But we love him, but he's just struggling a bit right now. And that's just where it is.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Graham, tell people where they can find you on Twitter, man, and all your stuff that you are working on.
You can find me on Twitter, @Graham_Chappell, if you can figure out how to spell it properly. Chapple is my last name.
It'll be in the description as well if people won't have any trouble.
That will help, because people, you'd be surprised how many people get that wrong. And you can find me on PetrieHoops.com, where I like to cover the games the morning after and kind of talk about nitty gritty of why they lost usually, and but hey, like Monday, why they won.
Yeah, I mean, your breakdowns are invaluable to a lot of people, so I really appreciate your work, my friend, and that you came on the podcast.
Thank you very much, friend. Thank you for having me.
I'll have you on again soon. As for everybody else, the Hawks will play again on Wednesday evening, so I'll be in the building for that, and then I'll have a recap show to follow. So subscribe to the podcast, do all that fun stuff, and we'll see you guys then.